if you really want to scale your business, you've got to hand over all of the other things that you do in your day that is not your passion. You need to basically make your role redundant and just focus on that one high value thing that only you can do.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'll be speaking with Amy Engelman, the CEO of Beepo, an outsourcing firm based in Australia. We're going to discuss some of the common fears that businesses have about outsourcing, the kind of tasks in your real estate agency that can be sent offshore, and how to scale your business faster with an outsourcing team. But before we catch up with Amy, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Console, Australia's leading real estate agency software, offering property management, sales management, property data, and website solutions. Let us help you grow your business. Visit www.console.com.au.
So this week I'd like to share with you a resource called lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A. .com. And lynda.com is essentially a training resource for all different topics, whether it's graphic design, web development, photography, business, 3D and animation, video editing, audio and music, things like that. And it was a company that was acquired by LinkedIn this year. And essentially, if you've got anyone in your office who is creating designs, whether it's flyers or different kinds of graphics for social media or your website, for example, then lynda.com is a great place for them to go and get themselves upskilled and improve their training on programs like Photoshop, or if they're designing landing pages, things like that. There's over 3,600 video courses. There's expert teachers. You get unlimited access. Just a great resource to go and visually learn how to use things like Photoshop and that sort of thing. So if you've got anyone in the business there that has been given the task of creating content for the business, or if they're just looking to add to their skill set, then they definitely want to go and have a look at lynda.com. It's a great resource that is really going to give them the skills they need to take all of that to the next level. So with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Amy Engelman, the CEO at Beepo, an outsourcing firm based in Australia. A successful entrepreneur, Amy loves working with businesses to improve what they do and how they do it. After working with a number of outsourcing providers in the Philippines, Amy recognized the needs of Australian businesses were not being met and founded Beepo. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, Amy, I've given our listeners just a little insight, but take a minute, tell us a little bit more about you personally, and then give us an overview of Beepo.
Sure, Josh. Well, I started out my career as a marketer in corporate and spent quite a bit of time in telecommunications. I then decided that the grass was greener on the side of running my own business and took the leap when I was about 29 to start my first business. That's a marketing agency called TLS Marketing and still in operation today with about 60 clients all around Australia. And a couple of years ago, I had an interesting journey. I actually went over to the Philippines on a business research trip to find out how I could basically improve my margins in my marketing business. I found that I was getting a fair bit of pressure from my customers at that time to deliver more for less, and I'd really run out of levers and run out of options, and I was finding there was a fair bit of wage pressure in Australia, pretty high cost of doing business. So headed over to the Philippines, and that was an incredible journey for me because it really opened my eyes to what's happening globally and what sort of resources are available. And as a result of that, ended up starting an outsourcing firm in the Philippines, which wasn't my original intention when I first went over there. And it basically developed BPO as a business to help other Australian SMEs with offshoring and outsourcing.
Fantastic. And for listeners who are familiar with the outsourcing term BPO, which stands for Business Processes Offshore, is it a bit of the business name a bit of a play on that?
It is, yeah. So it's always hard to find a business name that has a domain available. So you have to be a bit creative these days. So BPO was a play on that acronym, yeah.
Well, Amy, the conversation around outsourcing is getting much louder in the real estate industry, but there's still lots of fear out there about outsourcing, whether it's fear of sending work offshore, security, fear of reliability. And then there's the argument that a lot of business owners have about sending Australian jobs overseas. What do you say to people with some of these concerns?
Yeah, it's actually one of the concerns that I first had as well when I was looking at offshoring and outsourcing. What is the impact to Australian jobs? And what I've found through experience is that, firstly, when you look at outsourcing and offshoring, most people are not getting rid of jobs in Australia. What they're doing is they're actually looking at the tasks or processes that can be done more efficiently offshore, and they're then using their Australian staff for more strategic and higher value tasks. So a perfect example is, they might have someone in finance. They'll then look at having some basic payroll, bookkeeping, accounts payable, accounts receivable being done offshore, and then they'll free that person up to do more strategic financial management tasks to, help look at cash flow, to then look at, doing modelling on new products or services. So I can speak for the clients that we work with. We've certainly found that through offshoring, their business is strengthening. They're actually employing more people, and they're not shrinking their teams in Australia.
Well, I mean, the perception out there, Amy, with a lot of business owners that I've personally spoken to and met around the country, is the fear that, these buildings housing lots and lots of people working away at a computer, it's not very safe, it's not very secure, it's kind of essentially it's a factory of workers. Can you describe the setup and the infrastructure that you provide for your staff and how that looks today?
Yeah, sure. So to give you a kind of a walkthrough of what our environment is like, it's a very professional office. There's a security guard and receptionist when you walk in. Everyone's screened to understand whether they, have access to the building. When you move upstairs to our operational floor, there's a biometrics entry, which is by thumbprint. So you can only get in if you're permitted. Up on the operations floor, it basically looks like a corporate office that you'd see if you were walking into a major enterprise organisation, meeting rooms, workstations, supervisors. Some of the things that we do to manage risk, a perfect example is that if a workstation has a desktop, we disable USBs. Mm. So there's not the ability for someone to actually store data. We have a clean desk policy. So when you walk through, everyone has nothing on their desk other than what's needed. Managers obviously have notepad and pen, but people who are just working on what they need to do, they've got their dual screen and they're working on what they have on their monitors. There's no devices allowed in the operations area, so mobile phones and things like that. So it's quite a restricted environment. We can also add additional security measures such as looking at recording what's on screen, also looking at outgoing email and restricting that. And the other thing that's actually, it's interesting, it's a legal requirement in the Philippines, is that there's CCTV throughout the building. So it's actually probably a step above the average security that we'd have in an Australian office.
No doubt. Well, so many real estate businesses have taken the approach of kind of waiting to see how it goes for other businesses, Amy, before they dive in themselves. What tasks are being outsourced in real estate businesses today, and what are the most notable benefits to the business itself and the people within it, do you think?
Sure. So, look, from a property management point of view, there's a lot of administration tasks that are being done offshore, a lot of tenancy documents and day-to-day communication that can be done that's outsourced. Even things like, and look, I know a lot of people may have had negative experiences with call centres and taking and making of calls from the Philippines. But when staff are well-trained and they're recruited for their you know, great English skills, they can actually take and make calls offshore in a seamless manner. So, you know, you can have a local phone number, a New South Wales phone number, and it'll ring in the Philippines. And likewise, any outgoing calls will be from a phone line that's linked to the Australian phone system. So it actually looks like that call's, you know, coming from New South Wales. Lots of things on diary management as well for salespeople, helping with how they arrange their day. Marketing, so updating of web listings, social media platforms, all those sorts of things. Dealing with simple queries on rental availability and inspections, updating systems and CRMs. So really anything that can be done at a desk and, you know, given there's the right training and development, it can be done offshore.
Mm. And I think the beautiful thing about, full disclosure to our listeners, Amy, that that Steps have engaged BPO on a number of occasions, as have many of our clients. Now, something that we found valuable is the time difference between Australia and the Philippines. Essentially, they're 3 hours behind. Is that correct?
2 hours for when it's not daylight saving for the eastern seaboard, and there's no time difference for Perth, so it's the same time zone as Perth.
Yeah, which is highly valuable if you're running, you know, a 9-to-5 business and you need someone there essentially from the start of the day, if it's updating listings or marketing or any of the other tasks that you've mentioned. It's quite handy to have them there at the ready. Now, something else a lot of people would be concerned about, Amy, is cost. And we all know that one of the biggest struggles in any business is wage costs. But to get just to give us a bit of an idea and a bit of an overview, if you want to share with our listeners sort of what it costs for someone if they're engaging an outsourcing company.
Sure. So one of the things to recognise is that there is a big difference in wage costs, and the dollar does stretch very, very far in the Philippines. And so although this sounds ridiculously low, you know, what I'll talk about for staff wages can actually generally feed quite a large family in the Philippines and you know, give that person a good lifestyle. The industry, the BPO industry, pays 7 times above the minimum wage.
Wow.
And certainly we at BPO try to ensure that we're at the top end of that and, you know, providing the best kind of both financial and career options for our staff. So in administration, the staff salary for someone in administration generally sits around $600 for a month for someone who's had a couple of years administration experience. On top of that are the cost of managing that staff member, supervision, internet, office, all that sort of thing. So when you look at the total cost per month for an administration type role, it generally sits, depending on the skills of that person, between $1,500 and $2,000 Australian dollars a month.
Wow.
All up.
Wow. Yeah, which is just crazy in terms of comparison here in Australia.
Well, it is, and you know, what's interesting in the Philippines is that there's 500,000 university graduates every year coming out of their university system. So, you know, all of the young people are speaking great English because they actually speak it through primary and secondary school. They're educated in English, and then they go to university and get a degree as well. So degree qualified staff are readily available.
Mm. Well, something else that you know, a little bit of an endorsement for you guys at BPO, Amy, that I've found working with the team there has been the proactiveness of the people that are there in the team. And that's another concern that I'm sure a lot of businesses would have is the language barrier. It's certainly not, it's definitely, it's not an issue today, is it?
No, and it also does depend on the age of the candidate. So what we find is that some people, maybe 30 plus, that haven't been educated in the more recent school system, their English may not be as great as someone who's a little bit younger. But one of the things that we do at BPO is we actually test for that. So we do a listening test and we do a speaking test to make sure if someone is coming into the business that they can hear us and they can understand us and they can understand Aussies as well. And that just ensures that from the very beginning we've got a platform that we know will be successful.
Mm. And when I mentioned the proactiveness side of things, Amy, if I can share a story with yourself, I'm not sure if I've publicly shared this with you, but basically during a range of different tasks and engagements that we've had with BPO personally, there's been moments where the team have actually come to us with ideas on how we could improve, whether it's a process or a marketing initiative, which has added significant value. And often when if you're employing staff, you know, that they'll do the job that is assigned to them. But what we've found is they will actually take that one step further and look for ways of helping you run a better business. And I think it's fantastic. And it's something that I guess it's something that you're not always going to get if you're just employing a staff member sitting in your office full time that's dedicated to one task alone, right?
Absolutely. And it's a perception. It is a perception that I think a lot of people have before they experience offshoring is that that the staff just want to do one thing over and over. Mm. But I've certainly found that, you know, there are some amazing people that have been trained in the Philippines in all sorts of roles. My management team for BPO, other than sales, 100% fit in the Philippines. So the whole business is run from, you know, human resources management, IT management, customer service, account service, you know, accounting. My whole team, other than sales, are in the Philippines, and they're managing a business now that's 150 staff.
Wow.
As at today, there'll be there's another 20 in recruitment, so we'll be 170 shortly.
Wow.
And we're on track in 12 months to have a turnover of 10 million. So, you know, when I say that there are smart, well-trained, you know, senior staff in the Philippines, I know that because I've tested the model and they're the people that are running the business. And it's been a real insight for me. I kind of tested the boundaries as I've built the business to see what that capability level is. And I've just been astounded.
Not everything at the end of the day can be outsourced, can it, Amy? And there's certainly some tasks that we've decided to keep, I guess, insourced is a bit of a term that I've heard thrown around as well. But there's certainly some tasks that don't necessarily always fit in terms of offshoring them to someone over in the Philippines, right?
Correct. And, you know, sales is a perfect example of that. You know, face-to-face sales is one of the things that can't be done in the Philippines.
Sure.
Certainly where there is really, really specific product knowledge that has been gained over a long term. And, yeah, but it's interesting. There's been some things where a client has come to us and said, look, do you think you could find someone who could be our purchasing officer? Mm. And we go, yeah, all right, let's have a look at it. And then suddenly we'll find someone who's had experience in manufacturing, doing purchasing before for another Western company, and they can come in and take on that responsibility. So for us, it's always been let's test it, let's see if we can find the right candidate and the right person, and you know, and go from there.
Fantastic. Well, Amy, where do you believe the future of outsourcing is going here in Australia? Where do we go from here, do you think?
Well, looking at some of the numbers that consultants and people that I speak to in the industry, one of those being Scott Lyndon-Jones, who's written a book about offshoring called The Third Wave. From a numbers point of view, he believes at the moment that there's about 25,000 jobs in Australia that are already in the Philippines. He expects that to double in the next year to 50,000. Now, numbers aside, looking at what sorts of things we'll be seeing, I think, you know, traditionally outsourcing in the Philippines has been voice inbound and outbound kind of calls. That's where the industry has built up a lot of strength in insurance and banking and telecommunications. But what we're seeing now is that it's technical roles. It's all sorts of things like the purchasing and the software development and marketing and a whole host of other technical roles. Where I think we'll be in 5 years' time is we'll be going down the path of automation. So, you know, we'll be looking at staff offshore, not necessarily doing the processing, but there'll be automated ways of doing that, robotics, you know, there'll be ways of scanning documentation and all sorts of really, really interesting tools in the automation sense. And we'll just have staff that are dealing with exclusions and, you know, the little pieces around the edges that can't be automated. And I saw that even 12 months ago in a firm. It was a large grocery supplier in Australia where you go down and get your meal and do your shopping, your weekly shopping. And what I was seeing is that their invoices were coming through and there was it was all automated. They were picking up the details of the invoice, the product, the price, all that sorts of thing that was being fed into their core system. And the staff member in the Philippines was only dealing with the exclusion. So where they couldn't quite see the number or they couldn't quite see the description, they would then correct that and type that in. But the rest of the invoice was all being lifted, all that information was being lifted and entered into the system automatically.
Well, I think one of the particular tasks that you mentioned in and amongst all of the admin and financial side of running a business is marketing, Amy. And with your background in marketing, I'm keen to get your thoughts on solving some of the challenges that real estate businesses have in that space. And the three biggest challenges they have when it comes to marketing is generally creating awareness of their brand, generating leads or increasing loyalty and advocacy from their current clients. And so based on your experience in marketing, can you give our listeners a bit of an insight on how they might be able to solve some of these challenges and maybe including a little bit of outsourcing?
Yeah, sure. So look, there's a lot of things that are being done in the marketing space that's pretty exciting, and the space is moving very, very quickly, as you know.
Yeah.
I've seen that kind of change from the traditional marketing to online. So a lot of businesses these days are focusing their efforts on online, and in particular, you know, that can range from simple things like their website to you know, things like newsletters and talking to their customers and prospects, and not just in general ways but in more segmented ways, which is what we're seeing a lot of. And also I think one of the really, really big developments in the last 2 years is the uptake of social media and how that's changing the landscape and, you know, how important that is for businesses these days when they look online and they're looking to understand more about a business and their brand and their people. And if there's nothing there and they don't get that, the door isn't open and they can't have that insight into what their business looks and feels like, well, then they've already lost, because they'll go somewhere else and they'll see that information and they'll see that. You know, hopefully most businesses that do it well share that really authentic view of their business on social media. And that's one of the things that I think I'm most excited about. We do a lot of that work in the Philippines and in BPO. We have a number of staff that help businesses with their social media and with their online environment. And I'll give you an example, just looking at, you know, how we manage that for customers. They're still in control of how their brand is communicated and what sort of things they want to put on social media, but we're able to do that in an automated fashion. So we might plan out a posting plan on social media in advance. We might plan out the content that's going to be delivered, and, you know, still have the photos and the you know, little slice of that business and the authentic flavor to it added in, but the process is there, the discipline is there, and that content is being continuously driven. So basically it doesn't get left behind, which sometimes, unfortunately, marketing can fall off the list.
Oh, look, no doubt. Absolutely. I completely agree. It's the number one challenge that we face when we go in, whether it's consulting work or building a new website for a client, Amy, and one of the number one challenges for them is, one, how do we create content? So what sort of content should we be creating? And two is, how can we do that consistently? And it's the number one challenge every business has, is creating enough content, or the kind of content that people actually want to receive. So I think it must be a huge time saver to have someone in the background helping them out with the social media posting.
Yeah, it is, and that content curation fits really well with an offshore sort of construct.
Sure.
And it makes it cost effective as well, because I think marketing is one of those things that business owners are constantly weighing up. Well, how much do I spend, and what's my return on investment, and both from a time and a pure dollars point of view. Mm. And what I love about kind of sending some of that offshore is that often you can get five times the amount of volume and value from taking that offshore than doing it in Australia. So it ultimately helps them grow their business.
No doubt. Well, take us to today, Amy. What are you guys working on at Beepo right now that's getting you excited?
So at the moment, I am working on a project called the Beepo Academy, and that's come through the insight of when I talk to a lot of Australian business owners, they really want to see it. And what I mean by that is, you can share with them stories and case studies of what's happening in the Philippines, but there's nothing actually like being there and seeing the staff working, talking to the management, talking to the people, to give a really good understanding of what's possible. And so I'm finding a real need for innovative business owners and entrepreneurs that keep saying to me, let me know when you're going to the Philippines next. I'll come over and you can show me around. So I actually have a formalized program now called the Beepo Academy. I've brought in experts from other businesses like, Macquarie Bank that build up a huge back office processing center in Manila. Other industry experts to talk about security, IT, all sorts of other things. And so we've got a three-day program that's it's pretty interesting. And balancing that, the other thing that's happening at the moment is we've had my husband and I, we work in the business together, we've had our second child. So we're very,
yes.
The other project I'm working on is our little boy. So that's been an interesting balance, I guess, having two young ones at home and running the business.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, congratulations on all of your success to date, Amy. It's definitely no easy feat to run a business of that size, especially when you're both partners are involved in the business and you've got a couple of kids running around as well. But, Amy, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a study conducted by HFS Research, which predicts the outsourcing industry will become a $150 billion global market by 2018, up from $90 billion in 2013. I think it's important to consider if too much of your time is being spent on non-dollar producing activities, and if it's time to consider finally offloading some of those tasks to an outsourcing team to start scaling your business faster. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Amy, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
My one person would be my mum. She's been involved in owning and operating her own businesses since she was in her late 20s, and she's just launched her most recent, and she's 70 years old.
Wow. Can you divulge what she's up to?
She is. She's become an author, and she's sharing experiences about her it's just incredible. Her previous businesses had nothing to do with authorship, nothing to do with writing. So she's very entrepreneurial and someone who I really look up to.
Amy, what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Well, I do spend a lot of time with my boys, so that's my husband Mark and my two boys Hudson and Liam. And to relax, I would probably say drinking a nice glass of French champagne in the sun.
Fantastic. Amy, what is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Well, this one's a bit of an oldie but a goodie, Blue Ocean Strategy. So I actually read this when I was in marketing with Telstra in my corporate career. And, it's been on my bookshelf and I pull it out every couple of years and it's got some great principles in it.
Now, great suggestion. Back in episode 22 of the podcast, we had Kate and Justin Watt from Watt Realty in Brisbane, and Kate, having a background in marketing, suggested the exact same book. So, I know for a fact it's a great read. Amy, what is your favourite technology resource or online resource that you use daily to help you run a better business?
Well, Josh, this was a tip from you, but just in the last 2 weeks, I have been listening to a podcast.
Fantastic.
So this is a more personal one about, you know, what motivates me and drives me at the moment. But I'm listening to the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. Mm. And so I have that on my phone. I listen to that while I'm doing some exercise in the morning and I love it.
Fantastic. And for our listeners who aren't familiar with the show, can you describe what it's all about and, what you've taken from it?
Entrepreneur on Fire. So it's a daily podcast show. It's an American and it's leading entrepreneurs basically, and it's a great kind of 30-minute interview all about what makes them tick, their successes, their failures, and I just find it really motivational, and they kind of share their stories of success and their top tips, and they have a great question about what would you do if you woke up one morning and you only had $500 in your pocket, but you had all the knowledge and resources of modern day, and your food and shelter would be looked after, but how do you start a business from scratch with $500? And I love that question because it really has these leading entrepreneurs drill down into what are their most important lead generation and marketing strategies. Mm. And I just love it. That's my favorite part of the program.
Now, a big shout out to John Lee Dumas, the host of the show. I had the pleasure of meeting the host over in San Diego at Social Media Marketing World, and he is the same on in person as he is via audio, just a consummate gentleman, a professional, and so successful in his own business. Amy, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties that they manage. If you had to choose one thing that you believe prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Well, my advice would be to delegate or outsource everything that is not your core passion and is not the thing that wakes you up and that you're passionate about every day in, day out. So if you really want to scale your business, you've got to hand over all of the other things that you do in your day that is not your passion. You need to basically make your role redundant and just focus on that one high-value thing that only you can do. So if that one high-value thing that only you can do is motivate your staff because that's what you're great at and that's what you're passionate about, well, then get rid of all the rest of it and make sure you delegate it, put systems and processes in place to make all the other stuff happen, and then just spend the majority of your day motivating other people and motivating your staff.
Amy, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote, and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Right. My favorite quote, which comes from a gentleman called Mark Moses, who's a coach to entrepreneurs, and I was lucky enough to see him speak last year, is add a zero. So this is all about adding a zero to your goals or adding a zero to whether it be I want to sell X number of properties this month. So instead of being 10, it's going to be 100. Instead of building a $10 million business, I'm going to build a $100 million business. And it's all about smashing those limiting beliefs so that you can really, really drive forward and just get rid of any of that stuff that, you know, tells you you can't do it or tells you you should only get to a certain point or build something of a certain size. So I love that because for me personally, it's just taken my thinking to a whole new level. And so that would be my suggestion is look at what you're doing, how can you add a zero, and then get on a path to make it happen.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Amy has kindly shared with us today along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Amy Engelman. Well, Amy, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to really enjoy the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Beepo?
Oh, the plug. Thanks, Josh. So bpo.com.au is our website. So check out a little bit about what we do in the Philippines. My website is amyengelman.com.au. And, yeah, you can also find me through all the usual social media outlets as well. So, yeah, look forward to connecting.
Amy, thanks very much.
Thanks, Josh.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.